Welcome to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, the podcast where we uncover the secrets of CEOs, entrepreneurs, and visionaries who've used public speaking to skyrocket their businesses and their bottom line. Get ready for captivating stories, valuable insights, and practical wisdom from the trailblazers who've mastered the art of the stage. I'm your host, Kelly O'Hara, and I'm thrilled to bring you their experiences and expertise directly to you. Let's get started. Welcome back to the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight, where public speaking meets business growth. No fluff, no gimmicks. This is the show for entrepreneurs who know their message matters just as much as their metrics and who are ready to use their voice to build something that actually lasts. If you're scaling, leading, or just trying to break out of the day-to-day grind, you're in the right place. Today's guest is not your average consultant. Lisa Levy is the founder and CEO of L Cubed Consulting, and she's the go-to strategist for founders who are stuck running every part of their business and are secretly, or not so secretly, ready to tap out. Her specialty, helping $15 million founders break free from firefighting mode and finally lead like they were meant to, without their companies falling apart in the process. Lisa is the creator of the Adaptive Transformation Framework, a results-driven system that helps companies align people, process, and tech, not just for the efficiency, but for actual freedom. We're talking about cutting bottlenecks by 65%, boosting productivity by 40%, and building leadership teams that deliver even when you're not in the room. She's also the author of Future Proofing Cubed, and she's led conversations that sparked major shifts, like turning a dreaded topic like succession planning into a seven-figure engagement. In this episode, we're diving into how to build a business that runs without you, what it really takes to build a self-managing team, and why breaking things, strategically speaking, is sometimes the smartest move you can make. Lisa Levy, I can't tell you how much I'm delighted that you're here on the Spotlight.
Lee, thank you so much for inviting me to this conversation. And the intro makes me feel so incredibly special. I am so happy to be here with you today.
For me, this is such a great conversation to have with someone that really has expertise in an area that most people don't. And having been an entrepreneur all my life, I'm here to say that overwhelm comes with it. And if you've got ways to cut through some of that and increase productivity, then you're in the right place. And my audience is thrilled to have you. Let me ask you, though, I always like to go back. Okay, you're here. You are an expert in this field. You have wonderful credibility. But where does it all start for you? What got you into dealing with the world of process and structure and systems? Was it passion, pain, or both?
It was pure dumb luck. I had no idea that was a path I was going to follow. And my degree was in video production. And when I graduated from college and went out into the marketplace, I learned that with that degree, I could earn more money flipping burgers at McDonald's than I could leveraging my degree. And I said, wait, time out. That is not okay. And it was the mid-90s and technology was booming. And what I learned was video production is the practice of project management. And so I took that practice and applied it to a new field in information technology and started to build a career. And through that experience, I learned that technology is fun and we all love playing with it and it transforms businesses with no question, but only if the business is well-tuned and ready for that lift, that enablement that technology gives us. And more often than not, we're not ready for that. And so that idea of people, process, and technology really becomes a math equation. And it's people plus process times technology equals the change and the impact that you're looking to make, growth and scale, effectiveness and efficiency. However it is in your introduction, freedom. These are the things that equation plays with, and it has to happen people, then process, then technology. It's sequential or it gets really mucked up. So in that journey in my career, I started playing with those different levers and I was in the role that I thought I had always wanted. I was a director of the project management organization for a startup, and it was ready for liftoff. The rocket ship was launching, and it was everything that I ever hoped and wished that I could have. And I found myself crying on the way to work every day. Absolutely devastated and miserable, because in this great experiment, there was a C-suite team who had all come in from different places with bonus capabilities that incented them as individuals to build teams around them of consultants in these huge silos, where the only thing that they were focused on was their personal bonus payout. And I was there to work across all of those business functions to drive results. And I couldn't do it because I could not compete with their bonus structure. And every day felt like I was getting on a roller coaster where the loop to loops got faster and faster, and it was moving faster, and I couldn't breathe. Every time I got off the elevator, I was devastated to have to face that reality. Until one day I decided, wait a minute, I don't have to do this. I was standing in the parking lot with a cup of coffee in my hand, looking at this gorgeous building. Glass, it's early morning. I'm in Tempe, Arizona. The sun is shining, it's glistening. And that entire building looked to me like it was on fire. It had become a roller coaster in hell, and I wanted off. And that day I decided, I'm going to create my own consulting company and do what all of those other businesses have stopped doing, and actually start to make an impact for my clients. And I sometimes refer to it as an adult temper tantrum, and just boom, did not sit on the ground, did not flail my arms, did not kick my legs, did not scream at the top of my lungs. All of that was happening inside of my head, but I didn't actually do it. And I took a chance and I took a risk, and that was 16 years ago.
And you're still here and you're flying high. So it sounds, and I understand that so many people are trapped in a situation that looks good from the outside, but if the building's all great, it's all, even the bonus structure, all that stuff can be fun, but you feel trapped. If you feel trapped, this is not the right place to be. And it sounds like there's a realization here is that it's really about building the right container.
I like to talk about it as building your own roller coaster, right? When you're the one who designs the loop de loops and when it goes up and when it drops down, sometimes it may feel a little faster than you want it to actually be running. But if you're the one designing the ride, it's a lot easier to enjoy the ride.
That's exciting. That's more exciting because you actually are peeking into the future, but you're part of the decision-making team, which I think is always a whole lot more fun.
Yes.
You really hit me as I used to have a sign in my office that had a sled team, a dog team on it from Alaska. And I had this caption underneath it that I put that said, the view is always the same, except for the lead dog. If you think about it, it's true. No, I want to be the one that makes the changes. And I'm okay. If some of them don't work out, that's all right. I'll adjust. But I like to make the decisions. And then I like to have the team. I like to bring other people in and have them participate in the decision-making process. You are so much about leadership. You really are about bringing people together and doing it in such a unique way. How did this play out? Is that when you created L Cubed?
L Cubed was created in and amongst that temper tantrum. The name is an old nickname. I am Lisa L. Levy, and people called me L Cubed for years. And so when I was filling out forms to create a business, L Cubed Consulting is just what it was. Someday I will come up with a lovely three-letter acronym that makes that make a lot more sense than it's just me. But that's how it started. And in that moment, it became real. And I started on a quest to redesign consulting to what it's meant to be and not what businesses have become accustomed to, with the big four consultants who, when they come into an environment, their number one priority really is not to improve your business, but it's to seed their resources in and grow their footprint of billable resources over time. And that approach is really great for their financials, but it loses sight of what the practice of consulting is supposed to be about. And it is about building skills and capabilities inside of your client organization so that they are better off tomorrow without you than becoming actually dependent on you, much like on a drug. And that is what I think consulting, big school consulting, has become. And I think it's a travesty. And so I do everything in my power. Everything that we do, every engagement is about building up the client's environment to serve their customers in the future without me or my team present.
And don't you actually take that across the table as well, that founders of companies need to become less essential to their companies, and that leaves leaders really nervous? But why is that necessary?
So Kelly, there's a theme in what I do, and it is about breaking dependence or breaking bad habits. And it really, they are bad habits. Founders and business owners and executive leaders are all fantastic people with really brilliant ideas and desires to make and do good things. And we, as I am a business owner and a founder, right, we sometimes get stuck in creating, we're stuck in our own way. We forget that we hired a team around us of people who are really smart and who are really capable, and they are there to do things, one, so we don't have to, two, because they're probably better at it than we are, because we are not masters of everything that it takes to run a business, nor should we try to be, but we do try. And we forget that the whole goal is to have a business that functions, that can grow, that can scale, that can solve problems for our customers or sell products to our customers. And we really shouldn't have very little to do with that day in and day out, because we should be building towards the future and not involved in operations. That's where self-reliant leadership teams start.
You said that great businesses, they're not built on heroic effort. They're built on structure. What are the signs a company is still in hero mode?
The same problems. You solve a problem in 30 days, 60 days, 90 days later, it's back again. If you are a leader and you feel like your employees come to you every day asking for permission to do their job, you probably are too involved in their doing of their job. And oftentimes, right, when we're stuck and we can't pass this certain point, we've plateaued, right? And our products and our services, things we do are good, but the momentum is slowing down. We all know that a business growth cycle is a sine curve, right? And at some point we reach the peak, and then there's a decline that will naturally follow unless we do something different. And so if we are leaders who are so involved in the day-to-day operations, we're losing sight of the future. And that future is where our business either thrives or declines. And that's the most important thing for a leader to understand when they're ready to empower and have self-reliant leadership teams around them, is that they are focusing on creating growth cycles in the future, because they know that operations will happen effortlessly with the teams that they've built.
It's really such a, there's a trust factor there, and maybe it's trusting yourself. You know what I mean? Like I was in corporate for a very long time, and I loved what you were first referring to. When people bring you their problems all the time, initially you think I can do everything. And then you realize, wow, I'm having to do everything because people are bringing it to me. And someone very wise said this to me, and I took it with me. They said, when management, the difference in management and being the employee is people bring you their monkeys. Your job is not to care for their monkeys. It's to hand them their monkeys back and get and send them with one of yours.
Yeah, not like, my circus, not my monkey.
That's it. And it really turns out to be very true. You talk about cultural friction. People really get comfortable with what they know how to do. And they say, we've always done it this way. When you walk into that, how do you flip the script on that?
I love hearing that's the way we've always done it. That is the number one phrase that I can hear in any environment that says, oh, you have an opportunity to do something new, different, and so much better. The way we've always done it, right, is something that started a year ago, 10 years ago, 50 years ago. And organizationally, we don't remember why we do the things that way. I have a friend who refers to it as it was something that the guy before me did before the guy before him retired, and nobody knows, it just is. And it's this mess of stuff. That is the ultimate opportunity to make a significant difference to operational effectiveness and efficiency, because the way we've always done it usually involves way too much work, a whole lot of wasted effort and energy, money down the toilet, when if we actually looked at what the customer ultimately needs, we could peel away layers of process and become so much leaner and more capable, reduce overhead, increase the margins on our products and services, and have employees who are happy and customers who are thrilled, because we're probably getting their products and services out the door significantly faster.
It's so much more interesting. Even when you work in a system for another company, isn't it encouraging, and doesn't it get you up in the morning that you can go in and do something a little bit different, and you can cut the road a little bit differently? It's just more interesting on a personal level. Why do I want to do what's always been done? You might as well be a factory worker that's dealing with widgets. And we need to be able to bring our creativity to things, even if it's just new ideas. Give something a try. That's a chance to set yourself apart in the industry that you happen to be working in at this moment. Like, they hired you for your brain, not because you just are going to turn the widgets out. What's the point? So I guess I go back to what you're doing right now with Innovation Engine. Mm-hmm. Tell us what it is, what's inside it. How does it help businesses go from being really reactive to being more strategic?
And so the way we've always done it, challenge, is the perfect point of departure or platform to springboard into an innovation engine. Innovation is a business process that everybody should be doing, because it is what will drive success in the future. The results we get today, no matter how fantastic they might be, this might be the best year your business has ever had. But will those same results be the best they've ever been 5 years from now? I'm going to wager probably not, right? Because we want to grow. The economy changes, inflation changes, costs, right? It changes. What we're doing today does not sustain into the future. How do we get there? An innovation engine. And it is so simple. Every business can do it. An individual can do this by themselves if they really want to. Three simple steps. We're going to, one, ideate. Two, we're going to conference room prototype. We're going to have a thought experiment. And three, we're going to take it out and try and make it real. So let's talk about it a little bit. Ideation. This is something that is the most fun to do in a group. And it can be a big group. It can be a small group. It can be in person. It can be on Zoom. It can be in a Slack channel, right? It can just be text driven, however you want to do it. It's about capturing ideas, big ideas, crazy ideas, things that might seem just absolutely unachievable, insane. I want to colonize the moon. May not be an appropriate idea for every business, but hey, it's out there. Don't qualify them. Don't overthink them. Just create lots and lots of ideas, products, services, improvements in how you run the business, whatever it is, it's all fair game. Don't poo-poo anything at this stage. Just collect the ideas. Let those ideas sit for a while. Come back with probably a smaller group of people, the most trusted members of your team, to sit down and sort through that list a little bit. As you're looking through the list, there are going to be some of those really crazy ideas that make everybody chuckle and you go, yeah, okay, fine. Yep, you're going to put those off to the side, and that's okay. The fact that you started chuckling means that your brain started peeking into its creativity again, and humor and all of that. It's important. You're going to find a handful of ideas that feel, and I'm using the word feel specifically because we haven't qualified anything. They feel good. They are interesting. They're things you might want to pursue a little bit. Okay, so you've got 3 to 5 of those. With this group of people, you're going to pick one. And in this thought exercise, end to end, you are going to, on paper, on a whiteboard, on a piece of paper, on the whiteboard, on Zoom, whatever it is, design out what it takes to make that idea real. This is where we're going to start to think critically, and we're going to throw some of those constraints and those challenges and those obstacles and see, end to end, do we think that this is possible? Could we potentially do this? We're going to do that with a couple of these ideas and then look across the team and say, do we want to take one of these thoughts further? Most often, there's one or two that's a little bit intriguing. might be difficult, might not be doable, but it's worth exploring further. So we're going to go into step three and we're going to experiment with this idea. And we're going to broaden the audience. We're going to talk to our existing customers. We're going to talk to former customers who may have left us because we failed to serve their needs. They might actually be angry with us, but if we can have a conversation and elicit feedback, we're going to learn a lot. And we're going to actually decide whether or not this is worth moving forward. This three-step process, right now we've invested time. We've invested employee resources in time to figure out if these things are interesting or not. At the end of step three, it's a management and a leadership decision. Do we invest in actually trying to take it to market? That three-step process can be done in hours. It can be done in a matter of days. Sometimes it may take weeks if you really go out and have conversations with a wider audience. But again, you've only invested time to come up with things that might change your business. If we do this with our employees, and this is open, the idea is everybody should be sharing ideas on a regular and ongoing basis. We now have a funnel for things that will drive our business into the future. Products and services that can create new growth cycles, efficiency gains that can reduce our overhead. We might be able to realize that we have products or services that need to be sunsetted because they cost too much to produce and they are not driving the value that our customers need any longer. So this innovation engine becomes a tool set to strategically drive how and when we're investing time and money into anything net new in our business. And it is open to the voice of every employee to share. As a founder, as a leader, we are brilliant people, but we are one voice and our team is exponentially more. So the innovation engine is a really simple tool set that can start to then drive business into the future and create that mechanism for momentum, for building trust, for driving results, and it is a team effort.
I love this process. I want to tell you, I think it's brilliant, and I've seen it, something similar work like this. And I think my only addition I wanted to add, just because of having been in that situation, is it should never start with the corporate leaders in the corporate boardroom. It should never begin there. You need to start it outside committee, the people on the, I'll call them lower tiers, but really they're always the one that know the business best. They're the ones that are in the hands-on, dealing with customers, dealing with the processes, dealing with problems that come up. And that little group of people, I started something like that called the Vision Committee that brought people together from all sections of the company to be able to talk about what's really going on, because they'll tell you if you give them a forum to do it. If you take it to the corporate boardroom, it will die like immediately. And so bringing it up. So I think this idea is absolutely fabulous. And it gets everybody involved. It gets everybody engaged, doesn't it, in a new way, in a new exciting way, where they feel like they actually have a voice and somebody's listening to them. And it's a safe place to take your ideas.
So it is a safe place to take your ideas. The only time the corporate boardroom comes into play is at that end of step three. If it's something that's moving forward that needs budget and resources on all of those things, right? That's where that allocation comes from. But yes, you're absolutely right. Before that, this is middle management. This is line workers. These are the people who do work every day, who have the challenges, who feel and hear the pain of their customers, right? Because what we're solving for the business to grow is actually driving, how are we driving value to our customers? And that's the question we're actually solving for. What do they want from us? What do they need from us? How do we do it better? And the other offshoot of this, as those line workers, those people who solve the contact center, right? As they are hearing and dealing with all of that pain, they're also now going to drive ongoing continuous improvement in their business processes. Because they've been given the ability to have these ideas, to experiment, to try and do things differently. And that will drive internal innovation in the form of process efficiency and effectiveness. And it's fantastic.
When they see their ideas, we call it coming up from the floor. When you see those ideas that are actually being responded to instead of these suggestion box ideas that nobody ever moves on because it would create more work. But when you tell bring these people together to actually share their ideas and then something gets implemented, oh, they're on top of it all over again. It's like they've got their name on it. And it's so exciting to see what it does to morale, doesn't it? But I would ask you, what's your advice for the founders who are secretly scared to release control?
Control the size of the experiment.
Oh, interesting.
Right? Control the size of the experiment. A company with $100 million in revenue can experiment more than a company with $5 million in revenue, right? And so there's a scale to this, right? And invest into it, start small, see some successes, and grow. So start with a team, the contact center. Let them play in their environment and have a couple of successes. For them to build on those successes, they are naturally going to need other teams, right? And it will naturally grow from one function to the other, and it can organically in the organization grow with wins. And so the desire to be involved is, oh my God, did you hear what Kelly and her team just accomplished? I have this great idea. I want to try and do something too. And this really can and should bubble up from the bottom up. And as you get more and more wins, it's really easy as a founder and as that leadership team to sit back and not meddle in it, to let it happen. Because again, all of these employees were hired because they are skilled, they are capable, they are in a role that they are able to perform. And of course, they're going to have fantastic ideas about how to do it better. Who wouldn't want them to do that?
Gosh, they're going to feel much more honored and respected if their ideas are at least considered. And then when they get to be proven right, when it turns out that it gives the results wanted, boy, you've got a company that's really working on all cylinders. Yeah. And they're enthusiastic about it, which is contagious. Your program. I think it's divine.
And let me also be fair, right? On the other side, not every idea is gold. There are some ideas that when we play with them and tease through what it might take, might be too labor intensive, too costly, now might simply not be the right time, or it might not actually fit with the organization, and that's okay. Not everything has to be a win, but we do have to be willing to have the conversation about everything. And if my idea isn't chosen, that is not a reflection on me. It's that the idea doesn't fit in the environment right now. It may never, and it's okay. Keep trying.
It gets people involved and engaged, yes. And it gets people thinking once they get together. It's so contagious. I imagine that they're coming up with more ideas than anyone would have guessed because yes. They're enthusiastic. It's re-engaging them in their work on its own, separate from that. So I love what this is. Now, let me ask you, is this part of what you spell out in your book, Future Proofing Cubed?
So what's really fun about that question is the answer is yes and no. The idea of innovation is mentioned in the book, but I really didn't have this fully developed when I wrote the book. So this is a prequel. The innovation engine is something that really should start before future proofing and before the adaptive transformation framework really come into play. Future Proofing Cube talks much more about that, the people plus process times technology equation, and how to leverage project management and process performance management to tune the performance of the business and the organizational change journey, and how we need to take our people on a journey with us so that we are all ready to face change because it's inevitable. And the innovation engine layers in with that. And so they're complementary to one another, but the innovation engine is not in the book. Maybe I need to write another one.
Then thank goodness we talked about it today on this podcast, and this audience gets to benefit from what I think is just a brilliant concept, a very workable concept and exciting. I think more companies should consider this and obviously need to have a conversation with you. Tell me what, there's so much noise around productivity. What does real productivity look like inside a business that's actually designed to scale?
Real productivity, and I'm not going to talk key performance metrics. That's just not interesting to me right now. And it's a boring topic of conversation. Real productivity is employees who are engaged. People who, regardless of whether we're sitting next to each other in an office or we're meeting in this virtual environment, we are working together to solve problems inside of the business. We are doing the work we were hired to do because we're skilled and we're capable. It doesn't look like I'm sitting in a meeting with 20 people and everybody has their cameras off because we're all hiding and nobody wants to engage and have a conversation. And we come off mute and say yes or no answers. It's cultural as much as it is about actually tracking measurements and metrics that everybody can talk about, but I think they're less interesting than, are your people showing up? And it doesn't matter if it's virtually in person, are they present and are they engaged and are they sharing the good, the bad, and the ugly? Because if we're all very quiet, we may pretend that we're all doing our work and we may be doing the work, but we're not actually growing that business. We're not invested in it. And privately held businesses, founders, nobody will ever be invested the way that a founder and an owner is invested in the business. But if we have high performing teams, the teams are engaged and they are concerned about what's coming next and they're trying to make an impact. And so those teams buy into the innovation engine, they contribute and they help your business grow. And earlier I was talking about the life cycle of business can be considered a sine wave. And right when we reach our peak, the fall off can always happen. When we are high performing and the innovation engine is running well, we're going from growth cycle to growth cycle. And so we're trying to not ever actually peak. As something is slowing down, we're bringing the next thing on so that we can actually continuously grow and adapt and thrive to whatever's happening. And that requires a team that is engaged, that is valued. They know that they are valued. And that has nothing to do with asking, what time are you coming to work? What time are you leaving? What time is lunch? And if you're a salesperson, how many phone calls did you make today? Those are not things that actually drive productivity in any way, shape, or form.
Wow. Let's go to something you were touching on when you mentioned founders that I was thinking about. You talk about, because that's a different side of the business. The founder is always the hardest working person, the one who's the most invested, the one that had the vision and the plan and figured out how to execute it on his own or with other people. But freedom, you say, is a design feature. I'd like to ask about that. How, you know, can you break down for the founder who's still stuck in day-to-day operations, how do you help that poor person? I have sympathy for him.
So our whole conversation has been about how to help that person step away. So building those self-reliant leadership teams where we're empowering decision-making down into the organization where the decision is being made as close to where the situation presented itself as possible, supported by that innovation engine, right? All of these things are the foundational elements for a performing business. As each of those elements works, the founder should be finding a lot more time on their calendar, a lot more time where their texting is not going off, where they're not responding to emails on, please, how do I, can I, may I? They are now in a position to be visionary, to look forward, to be strategic all of the time, unless they choose to step in. But that freedom gives them that opportunity to look to the future, to go sit on a beach for 2 weeks and not worry about what's going to happen and actually turn their technology off. When was the last time you went for 2 weeks and turned your technology off? And know that the business is running. For a founder who's a serial entrepreneur, it's that opportunity for the next thing to start. Right. However we define that, many founders, and I'm challenged by the 2 weeks on a beach constantly. I like 2 weeks on a beach every now and then. I need it to recharge. Not everybody needs that kind of downtime, but that may mean that they go hike Kilimanjaro. They go for a racing school experience if they're an adrenaline junkie, right? And take time away because that feeds back into how they show up for the business. The existing one, the next one, whatever it is that's important to them. but day-to-day operations is almost always not the best use of time for a founder.
But I think there's a lot of people that need to talk to you. I'm pretty clear about it. Let me switch topics for a couple of minutes because I always want to honor why we come together and why we bring such incredible experts from so many walks of life, so many representing so many different industries. You're in the consulting business in a huge way. Talk to me about public speaking and how that helped you with your own business. Did it play a role for you?
It did. And if you had asked me 10 years ago if I was a speaker, the answer would have absolutely been no, I'm a consultant. But there was a moment in time in 2020, as I was 2019, 2020, when I was writing the book, that I realized that an aspect of every engagement that I have is bringing teams of people into the auditorium, standing on a stage and telling a story. And the story often starts about, this is your business. This is where we're at. This is what's going on. And oh, by the way, I'm here because where we're here today, we want to go there tomorrow. And you're all part of the journey, right? And an element of consulting is speaking. I've been talking with you all day today, right? This is right. My mouth is going and wind me up and watch me go. I did not realize that was a strategic tool for my business. And as I started writing the book and getting ready to, it was getting ready to publish, and I was starting to do podcasts and different things to tell the story of, I also started talking to associations and networking groups and places. What's your journey as an entrepreneur and telling a story? Today, the signature talks are probably 5 stories that I've built that set things up to tell the story of the innovation engine, to talk about the power of succession planning, to talk about the different results that we've driven for our clients, or how jumping out of an airplane with my stepson made me learn how to honor a commitment that I made, even if I was doing it flippantly. I did say I would jump out of a perfectly good airplane with him when he turned 21, and we did it. There's a signature talk around the things we say to our kids and the people in our lives. If we're going to say it, we damn sure better mean it. And sometimes that means jumping out of a perfectly good airplane, which I loved and highly recommend to everybody. It is fantastic. Speaking is how we communicate most effectively. And it's also how we communicate most poorly. But the joy of being a public speaker is if we craft our story and tell it with authenticity and impact, we can inspire. We can change the trajectory for somebody's career, for their business. Depending on the nature of what you talk about, you can change the trajectory of their personal lives, their relationships with spouses, children, parents. Words are powerful. And learning how to use them as a tool for my business has been one of the greatest joys of my career. I used to think that I was afraid of speaking. And really, it was that I was afraid of being judged for what I was saying. And now I realize I don't care. I'm going to say things that appeal to some people. I'm going to say things that totally shut down other people. I might even piss some people off along the way. And that's fine. That's part of the whole human journey. But when I do stand up to tell a story, I'm telling it because I want to be helpful. I want to make an impact. And every person in their career journey has stories that they can tell, and becoming comfortable speaking is the fastest, easiest way to share that knowledge and that experience with others.
I so appreciate you sharing that with the audience. The power is, and you obviously have it. It's why you're such a great speaker, is that the day you realize it's not about you, it's about what you bring to the table that will help other people. And whether there's one person in the audience that needed to hear it, or the whole audience is totally excited about what you brought to the table, if one person got something that they really needed, it was a valuable talk. And that skill set, like you said, that skill set, it doesn't mean you have to get up and talk in front of 500 or 5,000 people. But you know what? You will have to get up and talk to your client's board, or you'll have to get up and talk to their employees. That's public speaking. That's bringing your business in and pulling more people towards you to share your expertise, your knowledge. And the story is what makes it memorable. Nobody cares about the data. Nobody cares about the three steps you take until you make them feel it with the story that you tell. And you are wonderful at that. I think that is so incredible. Let me go on, because with all the things that you said, the great thing is that people can get in touch with Lisa Levy because she is bringing an offer to this wonderful podcast that, again, like the innovation engine, you only got to hear it here. So I'm excited about that. But I'd love for you to share what you brought to my audience that they get to take advantage of.
Absolutely. And as we've been talking today, if you're in the audience and these things are starting to resonate, right? You're dealing with the day-to-day chaos. You feel like people come to you for all of the decisions and you're constantly overwhelmed dealing with all of their stuff and not really focused on the things that you know you really could be doing. I would love for you to reach out to me on LinkedIn. I'm Lisa L. Levy. I'm sure that the link will be in the show notes and all of those things, but in that, direct message me. Just drop the word innovation into the direct message, and I will respond and share the Innovation Engine Blueprint. It's the article that the prequel to Future Proofing Cubed that explains the innovation engine and what it does and how it works and the benefits that you can have using it in your business. If you get that and it really resonates for you, direct message me again and say, hey, I want to talk and I will spend an hour with you and we can have an innovation clarity call so we can start talking about how innovation engine, self-reliant leadership, how all of these things can help you personally or your team as you want to grow and develop those skills and capabilities inside of your team or your organization. I am thrilled to give that hour because those conversations are so much fun and you will leave it with actionable insights that you can use the next day.
That is just such an incredible gift. And let me ask you, is your program, obviously your book is helpful, but is your program, your consulting business geared towards helping entrepreneurs as well as people on the smaller end, or just the incredibly fabulous high-end companies that you deal with, $15 million companies? Who is it that will be benefit from what you offer?
There are two true uses of this program, the Self-Reliant Leadership Program. An individual can absolutely benefit from the program. There's also a packaging of it to do it with a leadership team. And there is huge efficiency and effectiveness gain if you and your peers, right? If it is a founder and the C-level team doing this together, there is huge impact there. But that's where that $15 million in revenue starts to make that price more palatable. We can definitely work with an individual entrepreneur who wants to set the stage right from the beginning and grow into that also.
Love it. I love it. On a personal note, I got to ask you, tell me what's lighting you up right now. These days, what are you most excited about?
So my answer is it's pitiful, but here it goes. I have a new puppy. And the puppy gives me so much joy. While we've been talking, he's been chewing on my toes. And I've been trying really hard not to fidget because the best disruption in my world right now is one of just pure, utter joy from the business perspective, having these conversations and reaching larger audiences and sharing the impact of what we can do with Innovation Engine and the Self-Reliant Leadership Team. My purpose is to make my clients more successful so that they have raving fans in their customers. That's what this is all about for me.
What more could we ask for? I'm telling you. And the fact that you are a dog lover, as we heard my shepherd in the background letting us know the gardener has arrived. I love it. I just love it. What kind of puppy?
So underneath me is a 10-week-old basset hound, and his name is Trip Hazard.
And I'm sure he's living up to his name beautifully.
Yes.
I love it, Lisa. Thank you so much for showing up with what I knew would be straight talk, serious strategy, and the kind of insight that, you know, actually will move the needle for companies. I think that's beautiful. And conversations like this there's why we do this show. We get to hear from people who don't just talk about leadership, but they live it and teach others how to get out of their own way. So thank you so much for being here.
So totally and absolutely my pleasure, Kelly. Thank you.
There's so many key takeaways in all of this, but I love the fact that freedom is, that's high up on my list. Freedom in business, it's not just about stepping away, it's building something strong, and that it doesn't collapse when you do, which I think is great. And culture is so important. It's your biggest growth engine, or it's the anchor that's holding you back. And it really starts with shifting that thought of this is how we've always done it to what's actually working now and what's going to work in the future. I love that. The innovation engine, my favorite thing we talked about today, totally excited about that. I think other people need to know. So everyone out there, if you're ready to stop white knuckling your business, Lisa's Self-Reliant Leadership Team program might be exactly what you've been avoiding and exactly what you need. So you can learn more and go to her website at lisallevy.com. You'll find out a lot about the innovation engine there and her book, Future Proofing Cubed. I think this would be powerful for you to get the whole name of it. I want to give it full credit. Future Proofing Cube, the definitive guide to improving productivity, refining processes, and bolstering profitability. It's all right there. Everything you need to know about if you're running a business and you need to scale. Is something today that Lisa said hit a little too close to home in a good way? Send her a DM on LinkedIn with the word innovation to start the conversation. No pressure, just access. So thank you again, Lisa, for sharing your perspective and pulling back the curtain on how real transformation happens. I definitely want you to come back on the show. It is divine having you here. And to everybody listening, if this sparked something in you, reach out and talk to Lisa. Pass it on. Like it, share it. Leave a comment for us. We love to hear what landed for you. Every time there's a download or every message, every share that comes in, it helps us grow our community of speakers and entrepreneurs and leaders who are using their voice to create real impact. So I would appreciate that, because here we're not just about talking. We're not just talking about public speaking. We're showing you how to use it to grow your business, shift your culture, and scale on your terms. Again, freedom, my favorite word, one of my top most important things to pursue at all times. I love it. So thank you for being here, Lisa, and thanks to everybody listening. And as always, I look forward to our next conversation. Bye, everybody.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight. We hope you enjoyed this deep dive once again into the remarkable stories and insights of our incredible guests. Their experiences and hard-earned, time-tested wisdom are not just meant to inspire you, but to provide you with actionable steps to take on your own path to success. Remember, you have a story to tell, and your voice has the power to transform your business and make lasting impact. And that's what it's all about. If you found value in today's episode, let us know. And I hope you'll take a moment and subscribe to The Spotlight wherever you listen to your podcasts, so you never miss a thought-provoking or idea-producing conversation. I'm Kelly O'Hara, and I can't wait to see you back here for the next episode of the Six Figure Speaker Spotlight.